Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Flowers welcoming you to Kingdom Builders International Block Talk Radio, where I am your host. This is the third Monday of the month. You're listening to Restore Paths to Dwell In, where, again, I am your host, Apostle Flowers, and my wife, Prophetess Angel Flowers. Thank God for her as well. And also our ministry is Repair of the Breach International Ministries. But you're listening to our broadcast, which come on every first and third Mondays of the month at 8 p.m., and that's Restore Paths to Dwell In. So I want to encourage you on tonight, amen, take some time out, call up a neighbor, call up a friend, let somebody know to tune in to this live internet broadcast, because God has a word for them on tonight, and yes, God has a word for you on tonight. God wants you to be encouraged on tonight, and God wants you to be in high expectation. Yes, as you would hear me say, and almost sound like a broken record, that God always wants us to be in high expectation when it comes to Him, when it comes to the things of the kingdom, when it comes to petitioning His throne, when it comes to receiving from Him. We have to be in expectation that we're going to receive the petition of that which we ask. Now, you don't go into a job, going to those of you that are working, you don't go into the workplace and just go there and work for free and do volunteer work and not expect a paycheck at the end of the week or bi-weekly or however the payroll works at your company or where you work at or something like that. So you don't go there and not expect anything in return from your hours being put in. You go there with expectation. You go there to do the job, and you're expecting a paycheck when it's time to get paid for services rendered. But what I'm saying, what you're saying, preacher, what I'm saying is when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to when you're hearing the man or the woman of God that is bringing forth the message of the kingdom or releasing the word of God unto you, you're always supposed to come with expectation. When you go to God in prayer, you always go to God with expectation. I know you're not just going to God and just saying some words and not expecting anything. Just say, I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not really looking for nothing in return. No, we're not supposed to be that way, but we're supposed to be in expectation that God's going to move concerning our requests, concerning whatever need it is in our life, or concerning that we're petitioning Him for whatever situation, whatever matter that may be going on in our, in your life. That's what we go to God for and believe Him for concerning the situation that we may be facing or that we may be dealing with, or that someone else may be going through something in their life, and you're going to God on their behalf. And that's where intercession comes in. You're standing in the gap and going unto God on their behalf as if you were them. You're standing in their place, which is standing in the gap, amen, in prayer, in beseeching and seeking the Lord. Well, praise God. Again, thank God for our internet listeners, our landline listeners, our cell phone listeners that are listening in on tonight on this broadcast. And even before I go even further to the broadcast, I want to start out with some prayer, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God. I had a little bit of a late start on this broadcast, so I really want to get right into the Word, because I know it definitely is going to answer some questions for many of you on tonight that is listening in. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you, God. We can do nothing without you, Lord. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach. Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Lord, we put a demand on you on tonight. We put a demand on the heavenlies, Lord, on the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we draw, we pull from the realm of the supernatural in the name of you, because you are a supernatural God. And we thank you, Lord, for your super moving in our natural realm, God, in the name of Jesus, moving in areas and places that we don't have the ability or the capability to do, God, in the name of Jesus. That's where your super come in the name of Jesus, to do feats, Lord, that will literally just blow our minds. And Father, I pray that even on tonight, God, those that are facing situations in their life, circumstances, things that they have been going through for quite some time, God, between a rock and a hard place, and it seems like there's no way out. It seems like they've been struggling. It seems like they've been wearied and weared out and worn down concerning what's been going on in their life, God. It seems like they have not been seeing a breaking. And Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you begin to supernaturally move in the midst of your people, God. Lord, I stir up the atmosphere for miracles, Lord. I stir up the atmosphere for signs and for wonders on tonight in the name of Jesus, because you are a miracle working God. You're the same yesterday, today and forevermore. And you're still performing miracles. You're still moving. All we have to do is just believe. And Father, I pray those that are struggling and lacking, Lord, in their faith, even on tonight, God, that's struggling with believing right now, Lord, and trusting you on tonight, God. I just agree, Father God, with them concerning their situation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm having the faith for them on tonight, God, that you will move, God, and that their hearts will be encouraged, that they will be strengthened on tonight in the name of Jesus. I bind spirits of discouragement, disappointment, broken promises in the name of Jesus. Lord, those that have been going through hardships and pain and experiencing rejection in their lives, Lord, I command them to be loose from the spirit of rejection and depression and even oppression of the enemy. I command it to go right now. In the name of Jesus, I loose encouragement and the supernatural strength of God upon your people on tonight in the name of Jesus. And most of all, God, I pray salvation for those that don't know you, Lord God. And we know that can none come except the Father draws them, Father. So I pray that you begin to draw those by your spirit on tonight, Lord, those that have been hurt, those that have been wounded by the church, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your healing healing will begin to be released right now, healing in the area of the emotions right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Heal and mend that broken heart in the name of Jesus, Father. I pray those that are dealing with physical situations in their physical body, God, I declare and decree miracle healings take place right now under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. Lord, I release the fire of God to burn up everything that is not like you, every spirit of infirmity, every sickness, every disease, in the vessels of God, in the name of Jesus, in the people of God. I command it to be burnt up by the Spirit of God, by the fire of God on tonight, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that by your stripes they are healed. Healed. They are healed right now on tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for healing, Lord God, healing in their emotions, healing in their physical bodies, healing in the area of their finances, healing in the area of marriages, healing in the area of relationships, healing in the name of Jesus. You're healing and you're mending those broken places, God, and you're putting it back together again. And Lord, we forever give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, God, we thank you and we praise you right now. Thank God, amen and amen. Well, praise God, saints of God, on tonight. I want to get right into the Word of God, and I know that many of you have been experiencing, well, I'm not just going to say many of you, but me, myself as well, I'm adding myself to the equation, to the number as well, has been going through and experiencing that transitioning period, that transitioning moment where you're going from one state to another. You're going from one place to another. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes the transitioning process may not be a smooth process, because the transition process always have a lot to do with change. And we, being that people that we are creatures of habit, and we don't like change. When we get comfortable with a certain thing, we get used to a thing, and when it's time for change, we don't want it. Why? Because I like the way things are, and I want nothing to change. I like this the way that it is. Or you know how you have your favorite channels, you know, preset to the favorite channels that you like. You already have it set. And it's just like somebody coming and changing it and messing up your program and everything. But you said, I already had it this way because it was comfortable for me. It was easy. It's easy for me to get to. I don't have to go through all this to get to my favorite channels and so on and everything. Or just say you had bought a house some years ago and you got comfortable and in that house, and then some things happen and you're going through some transitioning right now. Now you have to relocate, whether because of the job or because of income, or the shorting income, your income has decreased, or whatever the case may be, that you have to relocate, that you have to move. And what happened is that you don't like that change. Now I was used to being where I was at, so now I have to change. So now I have to move. So now I have to go to another location. I have to go somewhere else, and I don't want to do that because I like being where I'm at. I like things being the same, and I don't want change. But let me tell you this: if you're part of the kingdom of God and you're in the system of God, you're going to go through the changes, when God is doing something in your life, when God is transitioning you, or when God is promoting you, or when God is bringing you from one place to another, there's always a transition period that you go through. There's always an adjustment period that you go through that causes uncomfortability, where things are uncomfortable, around you, and the things are you're being stretched, you're being pulled, and it seems like more things may be being added onto you, and so on, and you're not used to that, you're not comfortable with that, you've been used to doing things a certain way, now there's more responsibilities, or now you have to do this thing a different way now, other than the way that you have been used to doing it and comfortable in doing it, so now change has come, and this is how it is when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the things of God. That's why we can never figure God out. That's why we can never know how God is moving, except we be connected with God and connected with the kingdom and being led of the Spirit of God and going as God is leading us by the Spirit, and that we're trusting Him in the midst of where, you know, He is leading us, regardless of whatever valley that we may be experiencing in our life, whatever desert that we may be walking through and trying to get to, as you say, the mountainside. There's always that change, that transition, that uncomfortability, that dependency. Well, I'm not used to being in this place or making these adjustments in my life. So, but we have to when it comes to the kingdom of God. That's how God operates, and that's where faith comes in at. It's like doing something that you're not used to doing because you can't see it. Now, you know, you're all uncomfortable. Now you're in a place where I don't think I can trust it because I can't see it. It's not written out. The plan is not written out. And so, but when it comes to the things of God, we have to trust God, we have to believe God, and we have to know that God has already made the way, because that's why you have received words of confirmation. That's where that comes in at, when God has someone else to give you confirmation concerning a prayer request that you have prayed, that you believe God for, and what God is doing. God is answering your prayer. God is answering what you have prayed and what you have asked Him. And so now you have to make the necessary adjustments with God in order for this thing that you believed Him for to come to pass in your life. But I'm going to be touching a little bit out of Henry and Richard Blackaby and Claude King. A book is on experiencing God, so I'm going to be touching a little bit out of this book here and there, as I'm bringing forth the word of God on tonight, man. But I pray even on tonight that maybe you receive clarity and some peace and some understanding concerning the transitioning that you're experiencing in your life. It was said that what is it that God would do when you pray and you say, "Well, Lord, I need more faith. Give me more faith." Is it that God would give you faith, impart faith into you, just give you faith, or is it that circumstances would be stirred up in order for you to believe God and have faith? Because now some things are going on now and being stirred up around you in your life where you're going to have to, faith is going to have to be activated and be in operation in your life. And then it was said that, well, God give me patience. Is it that God's going to give you patience? Well, there's circumstances going to be stirred up around you in order for patience to have a perfect work on the inside of you. Well, Lord, I need love. Lord, give me, Lord, I ask that you give me more love. Let me walk in more love. Is it that God's going to give you love, or He's going to allow circumstances and situations and maybe some people around you to get stirred up that will try to come up against you in order for love to be active in your life? So this is how God began to do things. This is how God just said, "I'm just answering your prayer. That's what I'm doing concerning you." And so that's why we don't understand when we're faced with different things in our life, when things and troubles arise and storms begin to come, and we forget what we have prayed and what we have asked God, and all God is doing. God is what He's doing. He's answering our prayer. So we just need to make the necessary adjustments in order to move with God and move with what God is doing, even in the earth realm. So, many of us want God to speak to us and give us an assignment. However, we are not interested in making major adjustments in our lives. Biblically, that position is impossible. Every time God spoke to people in the scripture about something he wanted to do through them, major adjustments were required. They had to adjust their lives to God. Once the adjustments were made, God accomplished his purpose through those he called. So adjusting your life to God is the second critical turning point in your knowing and doing the will of God. The first turning point was the crisis of belief. You must believe God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. Without faith in God, you will make the wrong decisions at the first turning point. Adjusting your life to God is another turning point. If you choose to make the adjustment, you can move on to obedience. If you refuse to make the adjustment, you will miss what God has in store for your life. So what are you saying, preacher? I mean, you begin to act stubborn because you don't want to adjust with what God is doing in your life, and you say, well, nothing's going to change me. I'm going to stay like this. And so then you end up missing out what God is about to do and what God is trying to do in your life and what God is trying to take you to and what God is trying to get you to in your life. Remember, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is constantly and steadily always moving. It's always steadily advancing. The kingdom does not stand still. And so again, remember, again, as you heard me say, when you do study, go back concerning this, you know, studying the characteristics of, you know, the human being of us and our nature. Again, we are creatures of habit, and a lot of times we don't like change, and sometimes we can get stubborn and like that mule and don't want to move and don't want change in our life. But once you have come to believe God, you demonstrate your faith by what you do, which is your actions. And some of your response is required. And this action is one of the major adjustments that God would have you to do. And your obedience will also be part of the action required. Your adjustment and obedience will be costly to you and to those around you. So notice, whenever there's a transitioning, I'm talking about those of you of the kingdom, understand what I'm saying. When you're going through transition in your life, when God is doing some things in your life, a lot of times, you know, people can't go. A lot of people can't go where God is taking you. And especially if they're not making the necessary, adjustments around you, then they're not going to be able to go where God is taking you. And that's where the word goes back to, who is my mother? When Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? The one that does the will of my father. And let me backtrack on that a little bit. When we all know that when Mary's looking for her son, Jesus, and Jesus was, you know, teaching. He was about the Father's business. And she sent the person in to ask, and your mother is looking for you. And that's why Jesus made that statement, because he was of the kingdom, and the kingdom is constantly moving. And so when you're going through transitioning and there's adjustments that are taking place in your life, a lot of times, and if those that are not of the Spirit are not seeing and discerning by the Spirit what God is doing, what God is doing in your life, even when that comes to ministry, and I'm talking about those that are pastors and those that are leaders, even in ministry, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to transition, when God is transitioning the ministry, and you go through a season where there's been a pruning and a purging that has taken place in your house. And in the ministry where, you know, you have some, all of a sudden they fall off, they stop coming, or some that were being thorns in the flesh, being rebellious and disobedient. And so now there's this process that's taking place in the church where a shifting has begun to take place and transition begin to take place. And so now, as you say, things are, the fat is being cut. And now, and then as the transition is taking place, where it seems like people are leaving the ministry and so on and everything, but then notice through the midst of that transition after that's taking place, God begins to multiply. God begins to send new people to the ministry through the midst of the transition that can move forward in the transition as the ministry is transitioning. You have people already coming in and ready to move in the midst of the transition and where God is taking the ministry, not people that is fighting against the vision or fighting against you as a pastor, you know, or as a leader, what you're doing concerning, you know, the ministry and where God is taking. A lot of times those that are not connected is not going to understand what God is doing, especially if they're not connected with the vision of the house. And what they're going to do, they're going to buck up against the house. They're going to buck up against the vision. They're going to begin to buck up against the pastor and the leadership and what God is doing. Why? Because they don't understand and they're not connected and they don't see the vision. They're not going through the vision. And they're not trusting what God is doing in the house. And again, it takes faith. And it goes back to, you know, us and our lives and the adjustment that we experience and that we go through when we're transitioning from one point, like I said, from one job to another job. It's not easy going through, you know, the transitioning point through that. But through the midst of it, God, we have to trust God through the midst and that God knows what's best and that God works all things out and together for our good. And sometimes we can mess up in the midst of the transition by allowing words of doubt and unbelief to begin to come out of our mouth. We begin to speak against what God is trying to do in our life in a negative way because we're not looking at it. We're focusing on things that are not working out right. We're focusing on, I was looking for things to happen this way, but because things didn't happen this way, now all of a sudden we're looking at it in a negative light. And we're being pessimists. And we're looking at it as the world would use the terminology, do you see the glass half full or half empty? What is your perspective? How do you view the glass of water that is before you? Do you see that glass half full or do you see it half empty? And so on a positive note, you would say you look at that glass, you say you see it half full. That means you have faith. That means you're hopeful. You're looking at the bigger picture. You're looking at it in a positive manner. You're looking at it as a good outcome is going to come out of this, regardless of the adversity that I'm facing, regardless of what I'm going through. I know what God has promised, and I know that I have a goal set in mind that I have to get to and that I have to reach, and I'm not going to let anything stop me from that goal. And that's why Paul said this. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things that are ahead, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high call in that which is in Christ Jesus. So when you're pressing into that which is in Christ Jesus, that means you are being a citizen of the kingdom and you're being led by the kingdom of God and by the Spirit of God and what God is saying. You're not letting your flesh or your emotions dictate to you your walk in God. A lot of times, by us being creatures of habits and not wanting change or adjustments in our life, the necessary adjustments that need to take place in our life, then we begin, again, like I said, we begin to be pessimists, we begin to be negative and everything, and then we don't see things in faith, and we don't see things of the kingdom. We don't see things as it is already done. But I've been going through this thing so long. I've been struggling so long, and it just seemed like nothing's going to never turn around. Now you just aborted, and now you just delayed what God is going to do in your life or in your prayer because you said those words right there, I don't see it happening or it looked like it's not going to happen. Those very words right there, what you say, is very critical, what you speak and what you say out of your mouth. And so if you accidentally slip up because you got caught up in the heat of the moment, begin to renounce that, begin to cast it down, begin to ask God to forgive you, repent, and begin to renounce that thing and begin to reverse it and not speak, begin to speak faith. And that's what faith comes in at. And that's why we got to speak this. So when God speaks to you to reveal what he is about to do, that revelation is your invitation to adjust your life to him. Your faith will be most clearly demonstrated by your actions. Actions you will take include the adjustments you must make to be in a position to obey the Lord. Once you've adjusted your life to the Lord, you act in obedience. Then God accomplishes through you what he has purposed to do adjustments prepare you for obedience. You cannot continue life as usual or stay where you are and go with God at the same time. The truth is demonstrated throughout scriptures. For instance, Noah could not continue life as usual and build an ark. And that's in Genesis, the sixth chapter. Abram, before he became Abraham, could not stay in Ur or Haran and father a nation in Canaan. And that's in Genesis, the 12th chapter. When you have time, read it in your own time, the first through the eighth verse. And Moses could not stay on the backside of the desert herding sheep and stand before Pharaoh. That's in Exodus, the third chapter. David had to leave his sheep to become king. And that's in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verse. Amos had to leave the sycamore trees to preach in Israel. And that's in Amos, the 7th chapter, the 14th and the 15th verse. Jonah had to leave his home and overcome a major prejudice in order to preach in Nineveh. And that's in Jonah, the 1st chapter, the 1st and the 2nd verse, the 3rd chapter, the 1st and the 2nd verse, the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. Peter, Andrew, James, and John had to leave their fishing business to follow Jesus. That's in Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 18th through the 22nd verse. Matthew had to leave his tax collector's booth to follow Jesus. That's Matthew, the 9th chapter and the 9th verse. Saul, later Paul, had to completely change direction in his life to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's in Acts, the 9th chapter, the 1st through the 19th verse. I just want to say this one more time. Isn't this not like us sometimes? Have you not had a moment like this where you cannot continue life as usual or stay where you are and go with God at the same time? Sometimes we want to stay right where we are, but yet we want God to do this and to do that in our life. We want to do great things in God, mighty great exploits in God, but we don't want to do anything, the necessary changes to go those places in God where God wants to take us. We don't want to make those necessary adjustments to do that. Those of you that understand the prophetic ministry, you may have gotten a word saying that you're going to be a worldwide evangelist, probably all over the world, but you're not doing the necessary adjustment so that God can make that possible and happen by what? Studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman in need of not be ashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth. You're not studying, you're not reading the word of God, you're not doing any type of outreach type of thing. Are you going out into your community and neighborhood doing outreach? Are you going into the jails? Are you going into the nursing home, the prison, doing some type of outreach, because that's part of the evangelistic ministry? Are you going and sharing the good news of the gospel to somewhere, someone, and telling people about, Jesus, and Jesus saves, and Jesus loves them, and so on, and telling them, what the word of God says in order for that to happen? What steps are you doing? What are you doing in order for those things to begin to happen and begin to come to pass in your life for God to be able to do that? So there's some things that have to already be set in motion. There's some things that you already have to be doing in order for God to begin to move you in that direction. So if you're not doing anything, then guess what? If you're not making a necessary adjustment, then guess what? It's not going to happen. It's not going to come to pass. I know a lot of times we sit on these, these big dreams and so on, and I'm going to be this great entrepreneur. I'm going to be this great businessman or businesswoman, or I'm going to do this and do that, and just sitting on our dreams, just sitting on them and not doing anything, expecting that it's just going to begin to fall into our lap and begin to happen for us, or also we're just going to walk into it. And I like to encourage pastors, those of you that are experiencing transition in life, and even those that are starting out in ministry, started out and you end up, and all of a sudden you're down to a few people in your ministry, and then you have some that don't want to know that they're called to your ministry, or don't want to come or be part of your ministry because you're not some big mega ministry, or because you only have so many people in your church. So, well, I'll come back when you only got when you got these many people in your church, or when the ministry is booming. So a lot of times what what people fail to remember is that a lot of your churches, when you look at, especially a lot of your bigger churches and everything, they didn't start out just being a big church, unless it was handed over to them or something like that. But other than that, they didn't start out. And you hear the testimony of a lot of these pastors, how they started out with just them, their family. It was just them and a few members. It was just them, or maybe a cousin here and a neighbor there, and so on and everything. But they did not despise small beginnings. They stood in there, they hung in there, they went through the tests, they went through the ups and downs of ministry, and they made the necessary adjustments of what God was doing in their life, and then that's how God began to bless them and begin to increase them, and begin to prosper them because of their faithfulness and their faithfulness unto God. And God was like, you've been faithful over little, so I'm going to trust you over much. And a lot of times when people come into a ministry and come into a house and they know that they are assigned to the house because it's not what they expect or what it should be, then so a lot of times they end up, they may come and visit but may not even want to stay because why it's not a big ministry or they don't want to go through the necessary adjustments. Remember, it takes people to build ministry. You cannot build a ministry where you have people coming in and going, and there's no stability there, there's no commitment, and there's no faithfulness. And that seemed to be, a lot of that seemed to went out of the door of the kingdom of God, of the church today, where you have those that is just lacking in the body of Christ, where you have those that instability, don't want to run from church to church, don't want to be submissive, don't want to be committed, and don't want to be connected with the vision so that God can build it, so that they can be a part of what God is doing and grow and say, hey, I was here with Pastor when it was just a few of us, and I'm a testimony and a testament to what God has done here in the ministry and here in the house. But a lot of times you have those that want to walk into a ready-made ministry then, but then now they want to be a part of it. Because, it's a big ministry, and now I want to be part of what they're doing. How can I do? They go through the necessary classes and training and this and that, the commitment, and sit down in order so that they can be part of their church, the bigger church that has been established, instead of help being a part of building something new that God is doing and that is growing up and growing in the things of God. And so that goes back to, again, adjustment, how we want where you are and to go with God, but want to, at the same time, want to stay in the same place. You want everything, you want God to move and to do this and to do that, but you don't want to, again, don't want to make the necessary adjustment. You want to stay in the same place, but that's not going to happen. So in order for you to receive the blessings and the benefits of God, you're going to have to move when God is moving. You're going to have to go with the blows and the punches, and to endure hardship as a good soldier with praise and with thanks and thanksgiving through the midst of the transition and the adjustment that God is doing in your life. A lot of times the enemy have you focusing in what you're going on, then you begin to murmur, then you begin to complain, and the enemy got you. That's all he wanted you to do. So what happened? Again, that delays what God is trying to do in your life and God trying to bless you. That delays it. That prolongs it. And then sometimes we're not careful, like you heard me say before, we end up aborting it, what God had wanted to do in our life because of our murmuring and our complaining. And if you don't believe me, ask the children of Israel. That's why they wondered, like they did. God knew that they weren't ready to go into the promised land. They weren't ready to fight, and they just mentally, their state of mind and everything was not prepared, was not ready. Their mindset was still stuck in Egypt. It had been better that we were back in Egypt. So when you brought us out here to die, Moses, complaining and so on. And a lot of times when things don't work out in our life, isn't it that how we get sometimes? We start blaming the past, we start blaming the leader. Well, you gave me that word. You said that it was going to be all right. And now things are not working out right. And so now we mad at the past. We mad at folk. We blaming them. We pointing the finger and making excuses and so on. And we passing the blame off on somebody else, like Adam and Eve did in the garden. When God used to visit them and walk with them. His voice walked with them in the cool of the day in the garden, the presence of God. And when that happened, when Adam gave up his authority, and I know a lot of times you've heard some preachings and some teachings that said that, oh, it was a woman that ate the apple, but when you read the word, it doesn't say nothing about an apple. It just said the fruit. And that's why men in the world is in the state that is in because of the woman. No, if you read carefully, if you read the scriptures, it was Adam, when he partake in it with his wife, he gave up the authority and submitted. That's what happened. Because God left that authority with him, with the head, which he was the head, with him, with the man, but he gave that up. And so now that's why we in the state that we are in. It wasn't because of the woman, it was because of Adam went on and gave it up and submitted to that, which he didn't have to do that. And so a lot of times that's what we do, you know, and so what happened, we know the story. When God came and visited, did his usual visit to talk with Adam, and now Adam ain't nowhere to be found. He running, he hides. Isn't that like us when we fall short and we, you know, things happen in our lives and we tend to run and we tend to go and hide within our nature. That's within our nature. We want to go and hide instead of go and run to God, for help. So that's what happened. You know, Adam ran, he hid, and then finally, of course, you can't hide from God. He began to point, it was the woman that you gave me. And so God went to the woman. The woman turned around and said, it was the serpent. He beguiled me. So everybody was passing the excuse off to somebody else instead of owning up. Instead of saying, Lord, it is me that is standing in the need of prayer. It is me, Lord, that I've sinned like the prodigal son. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against thee. And a lot of times when I make a mistake or fall short or something, I'd be like, God, forgive me. I'd be like, God, I've sinned against you, and I sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I've fallen short. God, I missed the mark, Lord. Then I begin to own up to it. You begin to confess and begin to own up to it. Then the word of God says he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. And when God is doing adjustment in our life, is what he's doing. He's pruning and he's taking away some rotten fruit. He's taking away some things that are not like him from out of our lives or out of your life, because that's where the necessary adjustments need to come in. And sometimes we can get comfortable moving in a certain type of an anointing, but God said, no, I have a greater anointing for you, but yet your mindset is stuck on, I'm used to moving in this realm and moving in this dimension, but God said, I got something higher for you. So now God has to allow some things to get shaken up and stirred up around you in order for you to make the necessary adjustments with God, for God to move you into this higher place and to release this great anointing upon your life. And God, that's why the word of God said, I cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. So that's why that adjustment comes in. And that's why you have to put on new wineskin. Because if you're pouring something new into something old, what it's going to do, like the word of God said, it's going to burst. It's going to break because it cannot hold it. And it's just going to be wasted. And so that's what ended up happening. We're stuck in a certain place when we're at a place called arrested development, or we're stagnated because, you know, we want to stay at this place and we're comfortable, and God is trying to release something new to us within our life, because there's nothing new under the sun. But for us, and what God wants to bring us into, but because of it, well, we want the new, but yet we don't want to make the necessary changes for it. And then we end up, what happened? God released that new into our life. We end up being worn, or we end up backsliding, or we end up being bitter and angry at the church, and we end up shipwrecking and causing many others to shipwreck because of it. And that's why, influence. You know, the enemy knows about influence. And so that's all the enemy's after. He can cause your influence to be negative, and then what's going to happen? You're going to influence people in a negative way. And so whether you be like, I want to be a role model or not, or being a role model, you're going to have some type of influence in somebody's life one way or another, whether it's positive or whether it's negative. Regardless of how you may try to avoid it, and you're going to have some kind of influence, whether it's in your children's life, whether it's, they're watching you, or in the workplace, or whatever you may be, you're going to have a positive or a negative influence in someone's life. How many times have you not may have heard the story of, well, you know, Mr. I hope your name, nobody name out there, Mr. Jackson, you know, that is listening. Well, Mr. Jackson, you know, I've been watching you all these years. You know, I know they didn't come to you or say much to you, but I've been watching you. I've been watching your life. I'm watching how you have been treating your family. I watch you and see that you've been a family man. You've been going to, you know, I see you going to church every Sunday and going to church with your family, and I see you doing things with them, and just a lot of things. I want you to know how much you've been a positive effect in my life, even though I didn't even come and say anything to you, but I watched you for many years, and you're positively affecting my life, and it made me started some questions up in me where, you know, I wanted to get my life right and together, and I started going to church, and I decided, you know, started taking my family to church and everything, and just started because I saw you, and that just changed my life and so on and everything. How many times have you heard some stories like that, whether it was a male or a female, where someone was literally, you know, watching their life and may not have said until to, you know, some years later or something like that. But again, like as you heard me say, that you're going to affect, influence somebody's life, whether you know it or not, whether you want to own up to it or not, is going to be positive or negative, but yet we're still going to have to give an account for it in the day of judgment. We stand before God about what we did with our life, what we did in these bodies, and everything, and what we did, what have we done with the assignment that God has given us. We fulfill that assignment that the Lord has given us, and we cannot make no excuses. Well, those hypocrites in the churches and the pastor, he was a hypocrite, and such. God is not going to hear that. God's going to look at what did you do, because God is going to deal with that person on that day. God's going to deal with every man accordingly. From small, I saw the book open, John said, small, you saw the you know, those being judged, small and great. I mean, that means from the greatest to the least, from kings, I'm pretty sure, to movie stars and so on, all the way down to the least person that was in poverty or born an orphanage or something. Stand before the judgment seat of God. We all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God and give in account. So that's why it's very important for us to make the necessary adjustments in our life with God, so that God can do what he wants to do and bring us into that place, because God knows best concerning us. Amen. We think that we know best, what's best. No, God knows what's best. He created us. He knows, and he already mapped out our life, and it's just us going by the leading of the Spirit of God, being led by him. And that's why these men had to make enormous adjustments. Those that you heard me announce, like Noah and David and Jonah and Peter, you know, the disciples, and, you know, various ones. Some of them had to leave families and their countries. Others had to renounce prejudice and change their values. Others had to leave behind life goals and ideas and desires. They had to yield everything to God and align their entire lives to him. The moment they made the necessary changes, God began to accomplish his purposes through them. Each one, however, learned that adjusting one's life to God is well worth the cost. So is it well worth the cost to make those necessary adjustments? He never said it would be easy. He never said that. He never said it to be easy. Yes, it's going to cost you something. And sometimes we don't want something that's going to cost us. We are in that generation, instant this, instant that. We want it quick, fast, and a hurry. That's why we have fast food restaurants, you know, spots and everything. I'm not going to name no names. But that's why we have, you know, our little fast food spot that we go to quickly, because we want it quick, fast, and a hurry. But we don't want to do anything that's going to cost us. That's what the Lord talks about, count up the cost. So think about it. Did not Jesus count up the cost when he gave his life for us, when he died for us? Did he not see what was set before him, what he had to face, the rejection and everything that he went through, you know, from his creation? But yet his eyes were set on the prize, which was that he knew that he had to go to that cross. He knew that he had to die for me, that he had to die for you, that he looked through the eyes of time. He looked not just only in his generation, but he looked down through the generation that was to come after him, you know, after his resurrection, after he had ascended up on high. But he was looking for that eternal generations after generations to come, until God say, this is it. Go get my church. and bringing things to an end. And so that's what Jesus was looking at. Jesus was looking at the prize. I know that my time is winding up. I pray that you were being blessed and encouraged tonight. I'm going to share a little bit more than we begin to wrap things up on tonight. But think about it, what Jesus went through for you. Think about the price that he paid for us, the cost that he gave up. His deity, he gave up his crown in glory to come down and take on to be fashioned as like us as men, and was tempted in all points and went through. So there's nothing. That's why we can't say well no one understand God's understand when nobody else understand, because he'd been there. That's why God did that, came down here, was incarnated in flesh so that he can feel what we feel. Because remember in the Old Testament, when you study, you read the Old Testament, when you sin and you did something wrong, God was like, kill you, kill your wife, kill your children, kill the cat, the dog, the rat, everything, burn them up in a fire, don't leave nothing. And so then that's when grace came on the scene. I'm not talking about all of this grace teaching that you're hearing that's going on. Like, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about Jesus Christ, grace from God, had mercy and forgiveness and another chance. Not saying that, as the Word of God says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's for a lot of the grace teaching that has been going on and everything. We need to be clear concerning teaching. So that's why we got to be careful and everything, so that we can't continue in some that God grace may abound. The Word of God said that he forbid it. So now it goes back to, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap, whether that's good or whether that's bad. So that's why we got to be careful. So I'm concerning that and everything. But I'm wrapping it up for tonight. You may be thinking, but God would not ask me to make major adjustments. This is what you may be thinking. God would not ask me to make major adjustments. Scripture shows that God most certainly requires adjustments of his people. He even requires them of his own son, as you heard me say. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And that's in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the 9th verse. Jesus emptied himself of position and wealth in heaven in order to join the Father in providing redemption through his death on the cross. That was a major adjustment. That was a major adjustment right there. If you want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, you have no choice. You must leave where you are to follow him. You must make major alterations in your life to follow God until you are ready to make any changes necessary to follow and obey what God has said. You will be of little use to God. Your greatest single difficulty in following God may come at this point of full surrender. We tend to want to skip making adjustments and go directly from believing God to obedience. If you want to follow him, you don't have that choice. His ways are so different from yours. The only way you can follow him requires an alignment of your life to his ways. Amen. And I'm closing on that note because my time is up. I want to encourage you on tonight, those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is an opportunity to give your life to the Lord. And whether you may be a backslider, you may have turned away from God because you got discouraged, or some things that you may have saw in the church, or some things that have happened and just things that didn't work out right in your life or whatever, you just got upset and angry with God and just turned away and just went back. But God loves you. God is here to got his arms stretched out wide for you, to receive you, to take you back, and to forgive you. And all you have to do is just repent and come on back unto the Lord and just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died, that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. Amen. If you just said that prayer, welcome to the family of God, welcome to the kingdom of God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. They're celebrating you in the family of God, in the kingdom of God. And if you said that, if you were one that was backslidden, you did prayer, welcome back to the family of God. God wants you to know that he loved you. And I just come against guilt and shame and condemnation of you and would try to bring and say that God has not forgiven you. Yes, God has forgiven you. And shake off the dust, get back into a church. I want to encourage those of you to get into a Bible-filled, whole row teaching, Spirit-filled, believe in the gifts of the Spirit, deliverance, the whole, everything, healing, everything, teaching, preaching, apostolic, prophetic, ministry, just everything. Get into the church where you can be rooted and grounded in the things of God and where you can grow, where you can mature in the things of God, especially those of you that have calls of God on your life and you've been running, and those of you that may not know that the call of God is upon your life and where you can go and it can be discovered. Amen. Your purpose and your destiny, that's where it happens at, in the house of God. Your inheritance is among those whom are sanctified. That's the word of God. And a lot of times we think we can receive our inheritance and different things outside of the kingdom of God about being rogue agents. I'm talking about those that may have been in this thing for a little while, but you don't want to commit to no church or anything like that or commit to the house of God. You want to be a free agent, a rogue agent. And you're not going to be blessed that way. You're not going to receive no your inheritance. The Bible plainly says that your inheritance is among those who are sanctified, and that's how purpose being revealed, destiny, clarity, and everything is in the body of Christ. I mean, that's what God has the body of Christ for. And then you begin to know more concerning your purpose and your destiny and what God would have you to do. You begin to discover those things, and those things begin to come forth, and things that you didn't know that was on the inside of you concerning, you know, talents and giftings and a potential on the inside of you begin to come forth when you are in the house of God and you're committed and you're submitted under leadership and giving of yourself, your time, your talent, and your resources. Remember, it takes finances in the building of God's kingdom. And so on that note, God bless you on tonight. I want to mention this before I close on tonight. I'm sorry that I'm not able to open up the lines on tonight. But we do have an event coming up at our Overseers Church. It's going to be at 1020 West 150th Street, and that's in East Chicago, Indiana, and that's Word International Apostleship Network Ministries. We're going to be there. Actually, my wife and myself, we're part of the Apostleship Network there, and we're going to be getting affirmed under the apostleship there, under the network there, everything, myself and my wife as well. She's moving into that, into the apostleship as well. So we're going to be getting affirmed on that, and that's coming up this Sunday, the 22nd. You're invited. If you are in the Indiana area, Gary, Indiana, the surrounding suburbs, South Holland, close anywhere by the Indiana area, you are welcome to attend. You're invited. We would love to have you to come and show your support. If you've been listening to us and tuning in, you know, month after month that you've been hearing Restore Pastor Dwell in broadcast, and you've been listening to us, and come out and just, you know, show us your support and be there with us as we are, you know, celebrating this joyous occasion on Sunday, the 22nd. That's coming up this Sunday, the 22nd at 1020 West 150th Street, and that's in East Chicago, Indiana. If you need more information, it's going to be at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m., so that won't interfere with any of, you know, your church or anything like that. Again, we invite you out, come and be with us. It's going to be at 6 o'clock p.m. at that address. If you need any more information, again, just you can reach me at area code 773 on our church line, ministry line, 888-3356. That's area code 773-888-3356. Amen. Again, we are relocated in the Windy City of Chicago, Repair the Breach International Ministries, and we thank God for you. And I thank God for those of you, again, that have tuned in and listened to the broadcast and that have been faithfully following Restore Paths to Dwell In on every first and third Mondays at 8 p.m. We thank God for you. We appreciate you. We love you, and we continue to keep you in our prayers. And we just want to encourage those of you to share your testimony with us. When the times come when we are able to open up the lines, when the lines are open, share your testimony with us, what the Lord has done for you through this broadcast, or how God has blessed you and everything. We need to hear those words, because that encourages us. Amen. That encourages us and pushes us more in the things of God, and to strive more in the things of God, and to continue to believe God for you that is listening in. And your support and everything. Again, God bless you. I'm Apostle Flowers. Again, you have been listening to Restore Paths to Dwell In. Again, tune in the first Monday of the month, next month, and listen to Restore Paths to Dwell In at 8 p.m. Again, tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell someone about this broadcast, so they can be blessed and encouraged. God bless you, and good night.